The Holy Gospel is recorded in Luke, the 5th chapter. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore on the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "But Master, we worked all night long, but we caught nothing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets." When they'd done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they'd taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching people." And when they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. So today, we're hearing about the growing light of Christ, spreading the light that guides us and calls us today. Some of you know about Ole, he's an old Norwegian from Minnesota, you know, and one day he thought he was being called by God. He wanted to go ice fishing, and so he took all of his equipment, his bucket and his drill and everything, and he got out onto the ice, and he started getting ready to drill a hole, and then a voice came from up above him, and it said, "There's no fish there." Whoa, that's kind of wild. He was a little startled. And so he went over a little further to another place and was getting ready to drill. And then he heard, "There's no fish there either." Startled, you know. But he went about 20 yards away. And he starts trying to drill a hole again. And he hears the voice again from above, "There's no fish there either." And so finally he's exasperated. He says, well, God, why don't you tell me where the fish are then?" And the voice comes back, "I'm not God, I'm the ice rink attendant." Well, callings. In our scripture readings today, God is calling in some pretty dramatic ways. First, we hear about this call of the prophet Isaiah that you have pictured here. In this strange vision where these flaming seraphim, they're not little cherubs, they're flaming seraphim with all these wings, are singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of power and might." And then these same seraphim, when he says, "Oh, I'm not good enough, I can't do this, and said, one of them takes a burning coal and puts that on his lips and says, "There, you're purified." And then, isn't that pretty bizarre? Makes you wonder what he was on, you know, having a vision like that. And in the end, in answer to God's calling, though, when God says, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for me?" And Isaiah says, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." And then he gets this strange commission to go and preach to these stubborn Israelites who, as you know, are abandoning God left and right. And he says, "Keep preaching to them till they don't even hear you anymore." What an encouragement to a preacher, huh? But anyway, that's his calling. Then we heard about the Apostle Paul, who, after reminding the Corinthian church of the basics of the faith, he tells them he wasn't worthy to be called an apostle of Jesus Christ because he'd been a man of violence. You know, he was a spy and a persecutor, a Christian killer. You know, they were out to get everybody who was worshiping Jesus Christ and have him slaughtered for the sake of what he thought was a good thing. You know, just like We've been watching this series, Blind Spot, on Hulu. I don't know if you are watching it, anybody, but you can't tell who's on the good side and the bad side sometimes, and they're confused. But then Paul is on the road one day, and he's blinded by the light, this experience that leads him to eventually be able to proclaim to the Corinthian church, yes, I was unfit to be called by God, but by the grace of God, I am who I am, and God's grace toward me was not in vain. Isn't that a great word for us to have? By the grace of God, I am who I am, and his grace toward me is not in vain. That was his experience of being called. And in our gospel now, we hear this story of some fishermen. They're middle-class businessmen, really, entrepreneurs, running their own fishing business. They'd been out all night with their boats and their nets without catching a single fish. But what they did when Jesus told them to do it, they ended up with this huge catch of fish, so huge, their nets were ripping, their boats were starting to sink, they had to practically call the Coast Guard, you know. And they get to shore, and Peter, he realizes he's in the presence of the holiness and awesomeness of God, just like Isaiah had been. And he says, get away from me, God. I'm not good enough for you. I'm not good enough for you. You know what Jesus says back to him? Stop worrying about yourself. We've got work to do. You're going to co-catch people. So, how have you been called by God? What's been your experience of God calling you? Profound spiritual experiences like Isaiah had, or like Paul had, or like Peter, James, and John had. I've heard that maybe most people, if they even have one or two of those powerful experiences in their life, that's a lot. Some of us never have those. For most of us in our lives, our callings from God are probably more like, what, subtle nudgings. A sense of being guided to do something. Maybe it's even just in what you're doing in the grocery line. How should I treat that mom with her kid ahead of me who's screaming their lungs out? Maybe it's something bigger, like a whole change of life direction that you're struggling with. But you and I have been called by God in not with a burning coal or a load of fish, but with the waters of baptism that we remembered this morning, which says to us, you know what? Stop worrying about yourself. You're already dead and risen to new life. You're already dead. Nothing can hurt you when you're dead, right? Nothing can harm you anymore. You are dead in Christ and risen to new life. Stop worrying about yourself. Let's go catch some people. Luther liked using these two words alongside each other, vocation and occupation. And he said vocation it comes from the Latin word vocare, which means your calling. And as Christians, we're all called to the same thing, proclaiming the good news of God in Christ through our words and deeds and growing into that vocation. And we act that out through our occupations, the things we spend our time doing, whether it's volunteer work here at church or somewhere else, whether it's accepting your calling to go to a gala, you know, things like that. Or maybe it's something else. Maybe you've been called to be an electrician or with your gifts and skills. Maybe an accountant, maybe a doctor, teacher. My grandpa Heath was called to be a bartender. And let me tell you, I could see it was his calling because of the way he treated people from behind that bar. He cared for people like you would not believe. They were honored in his presence. In fact, I got to calling that place where he worked, the brass rail communion table, because anybody could belong there. So, what have been some of your experiences of being called? You've had them. Now, several years ago, let me tell you mine. I had left pastoral ministry to do full-time counseling, and while I was pursuing my vision of developing a Christian counseling clinic. We called it Kairos, by the way, Greek word, the right time for change. Well, at any rate, While I was doing that, I was working full-time as a therapist in a clinic, an HMO, a staff model HMO, and I kept on asking God for a sign of when it was the right time to move on full-time into this scary thing of developing my own practice, right? Well, I became fully convinced that the sign from God would be this. It would be a part-time job with benefits, security, right? Guess what? A part-time job with benefits actually came around. It was at Children's Hospital, and I interviewed, and the interview went so well. I've never failed an interview. I'm getting this job. There you go. Thank you, God, right? Well, 2 days later, I got a call saying, thank you for your interview, but we've hired somebody else. And it was my best friend who got the job, and I went, God, what are you doing? I thought you had a sign for me, right? So time went on, and things were getting worse at Family Health Plan where I was working. We had the CEO and the CFO had gone and gotten their MBAs, Masters in Business Administration, and knowing nothing about medicine and nothing about counseling, they decided that the therapists in the counseling department should do twice as many sessions a week, 30-minute ones instead of one-hour ones, and we could get twice as many in for the same price, right? And I tell you what, it was getting pretty bad. All the therapists were, you know, pushing back against this, getting angry with our boss, Don, who was caught in between. Those of you in management know how this can be. And he called me into the office one day because I wasn't meeting these quotas and I was resisting them. And he got so mad at me, he started yelling at me. And I just yelled right back at him and slammed his door and walked out of his office, down the hall. And you know what? As I walked down that hall, it occurred to me, this is your sign, Gary. You don't treat your boss that way. That's not right. It's time for you to move on. So I resigned. Without benefits, without the security of a part-time job, it was scary. And then I was shaking in my boots because I had to go home and tell Emily I'd quit my job. I walked in the back door and I said, guess what? What? I said, I resigned from my job. She said, well, it's about time. She's always more faithful than me about this stuff. I don't know. But so I quit my job, and Emily had quit hers 6 months earlier to go back to school. She was making twice as much money as I was. So here we were. We were still tithing. We'd learned to tithe a few years before. It was one of the toughest things was cutting our tithing by two-thirds. But, you know, it was a deal of, okay, God, you promised to take care of us. If this is what you want, you better stand by us. You better take care of us. It was scary. It was tough. The sledding was tough. We had a tight budget for quite a while there. But you know what? We never went without food. We were pretty healthy. We did without a lot of stuff, but it went okay. And that organization developed into this incredible counseling and consulting firm that was counseling clergy families and church professionals. We were doing strategic planning with congregations, conflict management in congregations, team building in churches, all that kind of stuff. It was such an exciting time. Emily and I even got to do a talk show on the Christian radio station, The Fish. At one point, we called it Living in the Light, interestingly, Solutions for Today's Families. It was fun. It was great. But it was hard work, challenging work. And then 20 years later, something else was shifting, and I was feeling called to do something different and to get back into congregational pastoral ministry again. And you know what? Another transition happened. And, you know, it's turned out pretty well. Of all places, Texas, you know, we said, here we are. And it's been wonderful, and I'm so glad to be here with you guys. It's been such a good journey for us and still will be. But you know what I learned? I've stopped worrying so much about being taken care of. I know each time something like this has happened in my life, God's taken care of you. And I just don't worry about that anymore. Isn't that interesting? And you don't have to either. Whatever you're facing, we don't have to worry about it. God's going to take care of you. If God calls you to something, he's going to take care of you. That's just the way it is. Somebody at our Bible study yesterday talked about this. We were talking about it, and he says, you know what? When you follow Jesus, life doesn't necessarily get easier, but it gets better. How do you like that? When you follow Jesus, life doesn't necessarily get easier, but it gets better. That was Frodo's experience in The Lord of the Rings, by the way, written by J.R. Tolkien, a Christian theologian. And his experience leads us to one last point about calling, about this being guided by the light. So let's watch it.
That way.
He's remembered.
No. But the air doesn't smell so foul down here. If you died in the air, Nog, always follow your nose.
And what's the key there? God uses everything. In fact, as we read throughout the Bible, God uses everything and everybody for his purposes to redeem the world. So if both Frodo and Gollum can be used for God's greater purposes, if St. Paul, the Christian killer, can be used for God's purposes, if Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus, can be used for God's purposes, if Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, can be used for God's purposes, if Peter, who was always sticking his foot in his mouth or losing his nerve, can be used for God's purposes. If all those characters could be used for God's purposes, don't you think God is using you as well? Day by day, year by year, in small things, in large things, even when you're not aware of it. But the difference is this: when you are woke, so to speak, when you know you are being called by God, as imperfect as you are, as scared as you might be, as risky as the undertaking might be, God will take care of you. God will grow you through that experience. He'll take you to places you never imagined and beyond your wildest dreams. And yes, life may not get easier, but it will get better. That's God's promise. So yes, you are called in every situation daily, as well as in the bigger decisions you face in your life, at any age, by the way, whether it's just to get to church or giving some money to something, to a cause, or coming to a leadership retreat, or making a major life change, you're called. And I wonder how God is going to call each of you next.